It's time for the word. And today we're going to continue on from where we left off last week. Last week we came from Galatians 6 and we focused on the first 5 verses. And the topic was signs of spiritual maturity. So we focused on how we are mature, need to help bear the burdens of others to restore one another in the faith. So today we're going to continue on and we're going to read from Galatians 6. If you can find it, I'd like to start reading at verse 6. And verse 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will in the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows in the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing well or doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith." Especially to the household of faith. For a few minutes, I'd like to indulge us to focus mainly on the 9th and 10th verses with a topic of encouraging words for well-doers. Encouraging words for well-doers. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me with the opportunity to share your word. And I thank you for all who are listening and watching, Father. I pray that at this moment, Lord, we can just empty our hearts of all other concerns, our minds of concerns, to focus on your word. And I, Lord, I just pray that you allow me to share this word with accuracy, Lord, and clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look at this passage once again, we are focusing on verses 9 and 10, but verses 6 through 8 really deal with how, as the Christian, we should share with one another, especially with those who are teaching in the ministry. So as we get down to verse 9, encouraging words for well-doers, in other words, don't get tired of doing well. Now, there is always that one person in every family who seems to do the bulk of the well-doing. There always seems to be that one person in every family that can be counted on by everybody to show up when something needs to be done. There's always that one child in every family that the parents know who to call on if they need something right away. And occasionally, my brothers and sisters, you know, we get tired of doing well. We get tired of doing that. Even in the church family, it seems like fewer people are doing a bulk of the work. That is just nature. And sometimes when we look around and look at what we're doing and what other people are doing, we can get weary. We really can get weary. And the Lord has just laid this word on my heart today to encourage us that in the midst of what we're doing, let us not get weary in doing well. Take heart. Let us continue to do what we're doing. Even though we're physically distanced, we can still help others out, my brothers and my sisters. So again, reading verse 9 of Galatians 6, "And let us not grow weary in doing good." Now I read and usually preach from the New King James, but sometimes I have to go back to the King James, because in the King James, it says, "And let us not grow weary of well doing," which means doing good. "For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And again, for those of us who are familiar with the King James, if we faint not. So let's look at this again. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Now, remember, Paul has just told us in the first five verses that we are to be prepared to help others in their burdens. Those of us who are mature in Christ, we are to help others. And as we help, let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary in helping others financially when there is a financial need. Let us not grow weary in showing up at somebody's house, albeit now we can't do a lot of that. But let us not be weary in showing up when others need us. Let us not be weary in calling others and just listening to them and just sharing a word with them, even though it might not be reciprocated. Let us not be weary. Let us not grow weary in doing good things. And I like the word grow, because growth is a process. So we are told not, you know, as we continue to do good things, eventually it will catch up to us and we will start to feel weary. We will start to lose heart. We will start to get discouraged. But what is this well doing? What is this doing good? This is using our gifts to help somebody else, using our gifts to sow seeds into somebody else's heart, using our gifts that God has given us to do good. Do good. Now, I want to focus today. There are eight reasons that I've, you know, really come up with why we get weary. So allow me to go over these eight reasons of why we get tired sometimes in doing good. Number one, when we take our focus off of the goal, when we forget why we are doing it in the first place. 2 Corinthians 4:1, Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We faint not. And what he's saying is that whatever ministry you have, whatever we are good at, whatever our gift is, we are equipped to do that. So don't get tired of doing your gift. Remember, we are doing this for the glory of God. We're not necessarily doing this so we can get accolades. We're not doing this so we can get our picture in the paper or online and social media. We're doing this because we have a gift to share with others and we care for others. We're doing this for the glory of God. Let us not neglect the big picture. Sometimes we don't see that our contributions are making a major difference. And we wonder whether or not it's worth the trouble to continue. At times like this, we need to remember that we're part of a larger body. Through our collective resources, we can make a major impact. In Nehemiah chapter 4, 13th and 14th verses is so impactful. Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall after years, well, decades of neglect. And as the people were rebuilding the wall, they became discouraged. So what did Nehemiah do? He placed people so they could see each other working so they could encourage one another. You know, sometimes when we get discouraged, it helps when we see other people working. It really helps. So don't lose focus of the big picture. That's actually the second point I wanted to lift up. We lose sight of the big picture. So, you know, we need to remember we're doing this for the Lord. Even though we're doing it individually, we're still doing it for the Lord. So number one, when we take our focus off the goal. Number two, when we lose sight of the big picture. Number three is when we start comparing ourselves to someone else. You know, when we start comparing ourselves to someone else, we either have two reactions. Either they're doing a lot more than I'm doing, or they're not doing as much as I'm doing. But you know, the Lord has plans for each and every one of us. And your plan for you might not be the same plan for me. So we all work collectively in this ministry. That's what the church is, a body of believers. All you have to do is look at Acts chapter 2, around the 42nd to the 47th verse, and you see the purpose of the church, a collection who came together to worship together, to praise together, and to serve together, to learn together. They came together and they shared with each other as each other had need. They supported one another. When we start comparing ourselves to one another, in the book of Acts, there's a couple who got in trouble, Ananias and Sapphira. They got in trouble. What did they get in trouble for? Because they pledged to give some land to the church. They pledged to give all their land to the church. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what they did? They only gave a portion of it to the church and hid some back. They hid some of their resources back after they pledged to give it all to the church. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving a portion, but what their sin was, they promised to give all, and then they lied about it when they were called on it. And the reason they did that, because if you read a few verses before that, I believe it's Acts chapter 4, you'll see somebody else who made a major donation in the church. So they wanted to be somebody. They wanted to contribute a lot. They wanted their name in the paper. They wanted their name in social media. They wanted to be known as somebody. But yes, they are known as somebody, but not in the intent that they wanted to be known. All because they compared themselves to somebody else. I'm encouraging each of us to do what we can do. Don't try and match somebody else's effort, or don't try and lower our effort because somebody else's is lower. You know, God has given you what he has given you, and what he has given you is for you to share. And I dare anybody to criticize somebody else because they are not sharing as much as they do. It is a blessing to have many resources. It is a blessing to have a multitude of gifts. But remember, to whom much is given, much is required. So the more you have to give, the more compassion you have to give, much more is required of you. So that is our third point. When we start comparing ourselves to someone else, we tend to get weary. Another one is when we are criticized, we might get weary. We might get tired. There's no perfect example that I can think of than Noah. Y'all remember Noah? Yeah, he's the man God said, you need to start building a boat because it's going to rain. The only problem was it never rained before. So here Noah is building a boat based on faith. And everybody else is criticizing him and his family. What are you doing, Noah? Why are you wasting your time doing that? And his answer was, because God has commanded me to do this. Even though he could not see or conceptualize what rain was at that time, he just knew God asked him to be prepared. And we know the rest of the story. When the rains came, they were obedient, and everybody else perished. So don't worry about being criticized. Whatever gift you have, God has given it to you to be used. And people will criticize you because of your gift. But do not get tired because somebody criticized you. Nehemiah also talked about him a little bit earlier. He was also criticized when he went to build the wall. There were naysayers. There were others who said, no, you can't do that. It won't work. The wall is too far gone. The gates are disintegrated. How can you do the work? But see, Noah knew to listen to God and not listen to the naysayers. And therefore, he galvanized the people. Even when they started to attack the wall, to tear it apart, God gave him a plan of how to protect the wall by having some watch while others worked. If God has laid that ministry in your heart, if God has laid that duty in your heart, if God has given you the passion, he'll also give you what you need to complete it. So therefore, don't get weary when others criticize you for what you do. Another reason, number five, when we feel underappreciated and see few results, you know, as children in our activities, whether it's school or sports or whatever, we like to get trophies. We like to get certificates. You know, we like to show the result of our work. And we display them in bookcases. We put the certificates on our walls. We put the diplomas on our wall. We put that on there because we feel that we have done a great job and someone has appreciated us. But sometimes we feel underappreciated or unappreciated when we do good works. We feel that people take us for granted sometimes when we do good works. We have some people who won't even say thank you when we do good works. I encourage you to continue to do good works, regardless of what happens to the ones we're doing good works for, because that is the ministry God has laid on our heart. And I want to relay an example to you, an illustration I saw in the Daily Bread years ago. It was about a chaplain Haig, who was visiting a ward of soldiers who were in battle and some were dying. And one young soldier whose wound was fatal and knew he was going to die, he asked this chaplain to please write a letter to my Sunday school teacher. Please write a letter to her and tell her that I died as a Christian. So he wrote this letter to this teacher. Weeks later, she replied, and she said, thank you so much for sending me this letter. But last month, I resigned from my teaching position in the church because I felt like I was not impacting anybody. I felt like I was not bringing people to Christ like I wanted. I felt like it was no use. I felt underappreciated or unappreciated. But since you sent this letter, I realized that the seed I sowed in that young man years ago took a while to come together. And I now realize the importance of my work. So therefore, I have asked for my job back teaching in the church because I do know that in due season, God will work. Have you ever felt unappreciated in what you do? You never know how successful you were in doing something. You know, it's interesting that, you know, when we go to homegoing services, that people will give remarks, you know, at the service of someone who has passed away. And you will hear people give remarks about, you know, how that person touched their lives and what they did for them and what they gleaned from them and what they gained from them and how they just appreciated the way that person carried themselves. But, you know, it's too late at that time for that person to hear that. So therefore, I encourage us all that if somebody has done something for you, to reach out and tell them we appreciate you very much so that we do not be weary in doing good. The sixth one reason is when we've been rejected by others, when we've been rejected, sometimes rejection will cause us to lose heart. Rejection will cause us to say, is this really worth it? We've been rejected. You know, one of my greatest joys as a young minister that I don't get to do as much as I used to was go door to door and share Christ with residents. And sometimes people would shut the door in your face and they'd tell you they didn't want to talk to you. But every now and then, there'd be that one person who would accept Christ. And I've got to use this illustration now, which I hadn't thought about in years. But usually when we went out, it was two or three of us went out at the same time, and we would share the gospel with the residents of the house. And in this one house, and I still get emotional when I think about it. In this one house, the wife said, come in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. And the husband was a big old guy. He didn't want no parts of us. So he sat in the other room listening. But as we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with this woman, we shared. And at the end, she said something like, well, that's all well and good. I'll think about it. You know, it's easy to get dejected sometimes. But then a voice came from the other room. A voice said, I want to accept Christ. And it was her husband. It was the big guy who wanted no parts of us, who sat in another room. He came with tears streaming down his face, saying, I want to receive Christ. And yes, I got emotional, just like I am now when I heard that. Because after rejections, to hear somebody that you would not expect to respond, that was only God working. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, when we do that, we have to remember it is not us, but it is God. When we get rejected by others, they are not rejecting us, but they are rejecting the Lord. So don't get weary of well-doing. Samuel felt rejected by God. You know, when the people, God's people, children of Israel, they wanted a king like everybody else in Samuel. He felt like he had rejected God. He had felt that he was a failure because they were not willing to wait for the one God was going to send them. But they wanted their king right now. They wanted a king like everybody else. But God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. So hold your head up high and keep on doing what you are doing, Samuel. Rejection. Another reason, when we have experienced temporary failure, that could be rejection also. But not everything we do goes well. Sometimes we ask ourselves, Lord, is it worth it? Why am I doing this? I have failed at this. There was a prophet, Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet. You know, he eradicated idolatry. He did a lot of great things for the Lord, but he was discouraged because Jezebel did not repent. And then I want to relay a passage from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, that he said. He said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, to take my life away, for I am not better than my fathers." You see, Elijah had gotten to a point that because Jezebel, the queen, did not accept what he was sharing, God's word, he got dejected. And in his mind, all of the other great things he did for the Lord was negated by this one person. Don't let one person bring you down. Again, you have to look at the big picture. Who are we doing this for? Who are we doing this good work for? And the final one I want to share with you is when we lack encouragement. When we lack encouragement, it's easy to get weary. How much do we depend upon the prayers and support of our fellow saints? Not only through prayer, but it can be a hug, it can be a note, it can be a phone call. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily. And David reminds us where our resources come from in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 13th verse. "Now therefore, O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." We need to remember where our resources come from. And our resources come from the Lord. Encourage one another in your well-doing. Think about it. Think about it. Our ministry, our passion, is again, is what God has given us to do. So we do not need to compare ourselves to anyone else. And then again, going back to the passage, and don't be weary of well-doing. Don't be weary of well-doing or doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. In due season. And this is an agricultural illustration, due season, because there is a period of time between the sowing and the reaping. We cannot throw seeds out today and expect a harvest tomorrow. It takes time. So again, in our ministries, as we are doing good, there is an interval time period between when we do good and when we reap the results. So in farming and illustrations now, we have the Farmer's Almanac and other things that can help us estimate when we will reap. But my brothers and sisters, we have the same estimate in the Word of God. For in due season, we will reap. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there is where your heart is also." So if God has given you that ministry, that is in your heart. So keep on doing that. If God has given you that mission, it is in your heart. So keep on doing it and faint not. Don't give up. How many have started only to give up when times get tough? When times get tough, what do? Do we pack up and quit, or do we keep on going? When you look at athletics, you will always see a team that has zero wins. You will always see a team that is in last place. But I love to watch those teams, especially when they keep on giving the same effort, game in and game out. It might not show up in the scoreboard, but it will show up where it really counts. Then looking at verse 10, let's look at verse 10 of Galatians 6. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of the faith. When we have opportunity, what opportunities has God laid before you to do good? Have you taken advantage of them? I believe he lays opportunities to do good before us every day. You know, Vegan Light, we do a lot. We're not comparing ourselves to others, but we're comparing ourselves to the gifts that we have. You know, in the times before the pandemic, we did a lot by showing up. With organizations like Durham Rescue Mission, Ronald McDonald House, Urban Ministries, Red Cross, March of Dimes, Crop Walk. You know, we fed the hungry when they were hungry. We gave clothes to those who did not have. We took care of people. However, in the midst of this pandemic, we have justifiable reasons that prevent us from helping in that same way. Therefore, we have to get creative. We have to get innovative. We have to do what we can do to help out from a distance. Don't let obstacles like a pandemic keep us from doing well. Don't let obstacles like a pandemic keep us from meeting. Let's not have obstacles like a pandemic keep us from having church service. We might not be in the building, but we are still meeting together. As you look to the word of God, obstacles were always present. Moses had an obstacle called Pharaoh, but God intervened through faith. Joshua and the Israelites had an obstacle called the Jordan River, but God dried that up at an appropriate time so that they could cross over into the promised land. David had an obstacle called Goliath, but he stepped up by faith and God provided a way. Think about it. Everybody has obstacles in their lives. But through faith, we can continue on. Through faith, we can continue to do well for all. By faith, we can take care of our church family, but not only our church family. It says, but do good to all, especially to the household of faith, but to all people. We pay special attention to our brothers and sisters of Christ, but we also have to take care of others who do not have. There is a crying need throughout the nation, throughout the world, as our children are being educated in different ways, as parents are making tough decisions about whether to go to work or stay home. Decisions are being made. The people are neglecting their health care because they're uncomfortable and going to the hospital. People are neglecting so much. And we look at our faith and say, so it is. But my brothers and sisters, if we can provide resources to help those, let us continue to do that. Let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap the reward if we faint not. That is the message for today. In my experience, obstacles are two things. They can either trip you up or they can be stepping stones to go on to greater things. Which is it? We cannot allow this pandemic to trip us up. To trip us up in our faith, in our commitment to do good, in our commitment to help others. We cannot let this happen because we are not the first to have had obstacles put in front of us. We are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, as Galatians 3:26 tells us. And I want to close out by reading from Thessalonians, Paul's word to the church in Thessalonica, in his second letter to them, chapter 3, verse 13. But ye, brothers, Be not weary in well doing. And if any man obeys not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with them, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. What he's saying that in our well-doing, we will come up against people who aren't on the same page with us. We will come up against people who will poo-poo our effort. We will come up against people who will be negative in our lives. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from other people in order to do well. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from other opportunities in order to do what the God has laid on our heart. But even as we separate, we need to admonish those who are naysayers. We need to not count them as enemies. Maybe we can just count them as friends who don't understand. Again, encouraging words for well-doers. Keep on doing well. Even though I can't see you, I hear about what you're doing. I hear about your phone calls. I hear about the advice you're giving people. I hear about what you're doing. So therefore, let's keep on. Let's keep on. Signs of maturity, as we studied last week, is the ability to keep on doing, regardless of the obstacles we come across. God bless you, and I pray that this message has been a blessing.